Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So you got a chance to talk to John Horse yesterday. We talked to John Horse yesterday after this whole deal goes down with Bledsoe and company. How are you feeling about it now?
Well, I'm interested to see what's the deal with Bledsoe's knees. We asked him about the Sean Devaney article in Sporty News concerning the meniscus and Bledsoe's knees. He made a comment of, well, let's just say we know more than Sean Devaney does or something like that. So then I followed up and said, well, so does he have meniscus in the leg, in the knee that Sean says he doesn't, or does he have more than a half a meniscus? And, of course, he wouldn't get any more into it than what he said. He didn't want to talk any more about it. So I'm not really sure the status of his knees one way or the other or how much meniscus is in there, but that, regardless, that has to be a red flag when he's had as many knee problems as he had in his career. And that would be the key to this whole deal is, can Bledsoe stay healthy? And if he can stay healthy, then obviously he'll be a huge asset to this team going forward.
I guess in this particular sense, when you look at this Bucks team and where Bledsoe fits into all of this, how are they going to then get that scoring coming off the bench?
With Eric Bledsoe. That's what I'd do. Eric Bledsoe would be my guy coming off the bench. Jason Kidd said yesterday he's still trying to figure out if he's going to come off the bench or start him and trying to figure out who's doing what going forward. And that's encouraging to me. Now, he didn't really say if that meant Bledsoe's coming off the bench or who was starting or whatever. And Kidd then went on to say that everybody's got to understand that reduction of minutes, reductions of shots, whatever the case may be, shouldn't matter to these guys because it should be all about winning at the end of the day. But for me, Bledsoe makes the most sense coming off the bench because, again, eventually Snell's going to head there when Jabari Parker comes back and Milton goes to the two. Once that happens, you're going to have shooters on the floor in that second unit. Bledsoe's a better creator and a better distributor than Brogdon is at this point. So if you have Bledsoe on that second unit to dish to Snell, to Toledovich and those guys, that makes the most sense at the end of the day, more so than Malcolm Brogdon, who, again, has been in the second unit before and has struggled when he was on the second unit. Now, even back then, what happened? He had Greg Monroe. Well, now Greg Monroe is gone. And he had great chemistry with Greg Monroe. So it just makes sense for me. Brogdon, a better three-point shooter, leave him on that first unit, let Bledsoe be sixth man of the year in the NBA, and create shots for your three-point shooters on that second unit and be able to give Giannis a rest.
When Bledsoe fits into this rotation, is he going to be a guy? I mean, is this the guy? How many times do you think he's going to either want or need the ball to be happy?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, if you talk about Eric Bledsoe, he really has never been in a situation, again, a really winning team. I mean, if you think about it, not a team like this where he really has a chance to be a part of a process that could get you to a conference finals or be a part of a process that could get you to the NBA finals at some point here, maybe next year, if not this year. So how he reacts to that, how he is going to play off of Giannis. I would think he looks at Giannis and realizes that he's the best player on the team and it's not Eric Bledsoe. Now, how does Eric Bledsoe look at Jabari Parker? How does Eric Bledsoe look at Chris Middleton? Does he look at them and go, yeah, they're not as good as me. I'm getting my shot. Don't know. And how much will Jason Kidd, you know, continue to emphasize making sure to share the basketball? And that's going to be something else, too, going forward. And that's a big question going into this. And again, that's why I said this isn't as big of an issue if Bledsoe's on that second unit, because Bledsoe can be the guy on the second unit. He can be the guy that takes all those shots in the second unit. And if Bledsoe's playing well, he can still be on the floor at crunch time at the end of a basketball game. It could be him and Brogdon in the backcourt in the last, you know, 4 or 5 minutes of the game, if Tony Snell isn't hitting shots from the outside, and let him go to work. Because you are going to see Brogdon and Bledsoe on the court together. I can almost but guarantee you that is going to be something you see. It may not start the game, but throughout the course of the game, I can all but guarantee you they will be on the floor together.
The scoring off of the bench, you talked a little bit about that, but where are they going to get the big? Where are they going to get the boards from? It sounded to me like they were not done trying to make deals.
No, they can't be done. And, you know, John Horse can say all he wants about being happy with John Henson. But if you believe everything, whether there's smoke, there's fire. They've been trying to trade John Henson, you know, all summer. And then last year at the trade deadline, they can't find anybody to take that contract that they paid him. So I'm not buying that they're happy with that. And I'm not buying that Thon Maker. I mean, they're happy with Thon Maker for his potential and his future. right now when he's on the floor, he doesn't add anything. If he's taking three-point shots, yeah, you know, he stretches the floor a little bit, but he's not blocking a bunch of shots. He can't rebound at all because he's still not big enough. He had it some way in the offseason, but still not enough. So that's still a future deal. That's not a now deal. And if that's what they're playing for is now, they need a bigger body that can go in there, you know, bruise inside, get some rebounds. I don't know if they have to be a shot blocker. I think everybody would want them to be a shot blocker, too, but I don't think they have to be. The guy that I would love to see is Jahlil Okafor in a Bucks uniform from the 76ers, who has essentially been a bust for them. They didn't pick up his option for the end of this year like the Bucks didn't do Rashad Vaughn. He's friends with Jabari Parker. They both grew up in Illinois together, so there would be a benefit there. He's a younger version of Greg Monroe. Think of him that way. I think he's probably a little bit more skilled than Greg Monroe or has potential to be a better offensive player than what Monroe has been so far in his career. Again, not a shot blocker, though, but can rebound and score. Can make him into a shot blocker? Bogut wasn't a shot blocker when he came in the NBA. His big deal was drawing charges. That's how he played defense his first couple of years. And then he turned himself into a shot blocker. Could Okafor be the same way? Don't know, but it's worth a gamble. And again, I can't imagine you're going to have to give up a ton for a guy that they told everybody in the league that they don't want after this year. So I can't imagine he's going to be all that expensive. There's rumors that Boston's interested in getting Okafor too. So we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out.
Talking with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Milwaukee Bucks postgame show on our flagship station, 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. This road trip, we had figured you need a couple of wins early on because it would be tough. What have you learned about this team on this road trip, this winless road trip?
Well, you know what? I don't get as wrapped up into what you do on road trips, what you do on homestands, and all this stuff. And only enough, again, this was Tim Allen and the Brewers, you know, he'd shoot me in the head for saying this, but I don't worry about it as much early in the season as I'm going to worry about it in, say, February and March, when you're getting closer to the playoffs and the whole thing is about to start for real. Right now, Cleveland's trying to figure out their chemistry. The Bucks are going to have Bledsoe. That's going to be a chemistry thing that they're going to have to figure out, too. So I don't get wrapped up in really what they're doing right now. Their defense still looks bad, and I'm not quite sure it's going to get all that much better throughout the course of the season. They're going to have to outscore people. And you add Eric Bledsoe, who hopefully can give you, you know, 15 to 20 points a game in some capacity, and then you get Jabari back, who should give you somewhere in the same area. You should have a chance to outscore teams and be a pretty good playoff team when it comes that time.
Good stuff, Sparky, as always, and we'll chat again next week, and hopefully the Bucks get a win tomorrow night and then come back home and get a few more wins to kind of start getting on the right track. We'll talk then, okay?
Well, I mean, it's the Spurs tomorrow night, and then it's the Ball family and the Lakers on Saturday night at the Bradley Center.
By the way, he didn't look good. Did you? I mean, I watched that last night, and Kyrie just takes over a game. He's everything that everybody thought he was going to be, but I'll tell you what, Ball doesn't impress me too much. It just, one night he's really good, the next night he's really bad, and his shooting prowess, as far as a rookie goes, getting out of the gate, has not been stellar on a consistent basis.
No, he's not a great outside shooter. He's got the most funkiest jump shot in the whole wide world with his release and everything else. But the reason that he'll help that team this year, if nothing else, is a good leader by all accounts. He can get out, got good vision in the open court. He makes the right decisions as far as the passes go for the most part. That's where he's going to help him. He's going to be able to organize him and get him out front. He's going to have to, based on everything I've heard, he's going to have to redo his jump shot if he's going to be a consistent outside shooter. So we're just going to have to wait and see. And good. Go from there. But I wouldn't look at Ball and go, well, he's not going to make it in the NBA after a couple weeks. I think he's going to be fine. And then we'll just have to wait and see how his jump shot progresses over the first couple years of his career. You can say the same thing about Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. He's another one that has no jump shot right now, but he's helping the Sixers in other ways.
Good stuff as always, Spark. We'll talk again next week, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.